Okay, well, we didn't quite get through the end of time conversation or our rapture conversation, but we were towards the very end, and honestly, I wanted to start fresh and anew, and so hopefully you had time to kind of close that out, maybe do some reading on your own, and I think we did do a pretty good job of discussing what truly is going to happen at the end of time. There are some things, I think Dwayne brought up a question. There's some things we just won't understand fully. I mean, I just don't know that we'll that we can, and I don't know that it's necessary. We do know he's going to return again, and we know some of the details. We know enough of the details to know that we need to be ready. So we'll leave that one there. I wanted to embark on a new study today. I have not really been one for teaching a lesson about a song, but I was having a discussion again with someone about a song, and it got me to looking at another song. And anyway, I ended up in the Red Book looking at Blessed Be the Tie. I don't know if you want to look in your Red Book with me, you can turn to number 656, Blessed Be the Tie. And it was this conversation I was having spurred around the tie that we have as brothers and sisters. And it was another good, healthy discussion. But I thought we would talk about what is this tie that we truly have. I think for most of us, that's a pretty simple... You have to bear with me today. I thought we're past our allergies, but we're not. But what is this tie that we have as brothers and sisters? And it's a good song, but I thought we could kind of go, and I was just wanting to high level look verse by verse and break that down, talk about what that tie is, and maybe look by verse. I really am looking for your input today. Again, it's a class, and so I don't want to do all of the talking, but I've come prepared with a lot of verses I believe that support what the tie is, and some things we as brothers and sisters and family members should be thinking about, and it should drive us in all of our actions. So, what a wonderful blessing we enjoy in Christ to have fellowship with our other Christians. One of the things that we're going to look at today, and it's right off the bat, but we are members of one another. And I want us to think about what being a member to each other means. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, and we're going to get to the song here in just a second. So, but Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So how many of you have been a member to something here? See a show of hands. How many of you have ever been a member? Okay. I see at least half of us, right? So I saw some. Let's just throw a few out. What were you a member of? Anybody a member of a golf course? That's the first one that came to my mind. I figured Matt might have been. Okay. A member of a golf course. What were you maybe a member of?
Some society at work.
A society, a foundation.
Society.
Okay, good.
4-H club.
What? 4-H. 4-H club. Member of a 4-H club. Okay, good. That's a good one. All right. So let's just take a few of those for a second. So, and Karen, I'll use your last one. But when you were a member of the 4-H club, what did that get you? Because that's been member quite a few years ago, probably, right? So what was the benefit of being the member of a 4-H club? Okay, and for those who've never been in 4-H, what was that at the time? What were you doing with your 4-H group? Was that sewing? Was it... Yeah, right. Okay. So you were part of a group, right? So whatever that interest was in that 4-H group, you got to be with kind of similar people, like-minded people. So, and I was thinking it was stitching and stuff like that. Was it not? Quilt? Or that was part of it. Yeah. Okay, right. So, yeah, because 4-H is big, I realize.
My niece raised a cat in 4-H.
What's that?
My niece raised a cat.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so could be cattle. I mean, there's all kinds of things in the 4-H. But I don't have a huge interest in cattle. Maybe some of you do. I mean, I like to eat them. but like, Mike can tell you how to medicate them, what can go wrong with them, all these things, right? So Mike would have an interest in being around other people that, that know about cattle, right? Or the 4-H piece of that. So when I think about being members of something like that, it's to be around like-minded people, to learn other things, to grow in those things that you want to be around. There's benefits. Maybe there's perks. You know, if you were a part of that 4-H group and they told you how to medicate, they told you where was the best place to buy your feed and your grain and how to take care of your animals, that's going to be a benefit, right? There are things I guarantee you Mike has learned now that he's taken on cattle. He probably didn't know maybe in his first year doing it, but he's learned more. He's talked to other people. He's been around other people. He's read a lot of things, right? So there's benefits in being... So when we think about this verse here, Romans chapter 12, 5, yes, so many, there's so many, being many, but we're in one body of Christ and individually members of one another. So think about that. You're a member to one another. So what comes to mind when you think about being a member to someone else? Not to a group, per se, but to each other. Exactly. Okay, that's the first one that came to my mind. Anything else?
Well, there's strength that you don't have if you're alone.
Yeah, for sure. Threefold cord. Yeah, for sure.
If we were taking this very literally, it means we're attached to each other.
Okay, good.
We belong to each other.
We do belong to each other. We are attached. So in doing so, are there responsibilities that we would have to one another? Yeah, so I think there's requirements, there's responsibilities. I was thinking back to, and I don't know, Matt, when you raised your hand about being a golf club member, were there certain things you had to do? You had to pay dues, right? Were you supposed to care for that course that you played on?
No.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't have to mow it and take care of it, but as a member, were they encouraging you to take care of the greens and fix divots and, you know, be a good member, right? Take care of what you're a member of. So I want us to get that picture of something that we all understand in our daily walk of life that we're members of. So this special bond binds us together. And when you think about being a member, I think of there's perks, there's benefits, but there's also responsibilities. If you're attached to someone, if I'm attached to Tad, well, I can't just ignore certain things because I'm a member of him and he's a member of me. We're together. We're a team. We're part of this one, and which means that we have some responsibility. So, go ahead.
I think generally most people don't like to be alone. Most people want to be around.
I agree.
Someone. So you're going to find a group. You're going to find a one another group somewhere to be around.
Right.
Good, bad, or whatever.
Right.
And just kind of like animals. I mean, animals. You know,
pack.
Some animals
stay together.
Some stray out on their own.
Right. You know, Jan and I share kind of an interest in watching these Alaskan shows. And some of these people just like to be out alone. But how many? Very, very few like to just truly be alone. We know some hermits, we know, but that's just a rare thing. Like you said, people like to kind of group together. So I agree. And what better group or bond is there than our Christian brotherly love and our family? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So this song, and so if you've got your red book out and you want to look at number 656, I think we should just read it real quick, or I'm going to read the first verse and we'll talk about that. So I'm in the red book, 656, Blessed Be the Tie. It says, Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. So let's just take that first verse and let's stay there. So so if we're going to talk about what this tie together means, what does this tie not mean? Let's talk about that for a second. When we talk about this blessed be the tie, what does it not mean for us as Christians? Kind of a weird way of thinking about it, but what's different here? Maybe let me ask it this way. What's different for us as Christians as a tie than maybe some of these other memberships that we just talked about? So in the world, if you think back to Dwayne's comment, you're going to be tied to probably a group of people somehow, some way. What's different about that tie?
This tie should mean more. It should be a stronger bond because these are the people you're going to spend eternity with.
Okay, that's good. One of the things I had written down was, this tie should be way more difficult to break. This bond, this being connected that Ted talked about. What else?
And another thing is because it is like that which is above.
Above.
We have a heavenly example.
Okay, and that's what we're going to get into and talk about, though. We have a heavenly example. It is that which is above, which is different. And that's my point. It is different than this tie. If I ask Matt, you still a member of that golf course? Okay. Well, what caused you to walk away? They're easy to break, right? These memberships. Dwayne talked about a membership or a member that he was. Are you still a member?
Nope.
No. Well, why? Oh, you just don't have that need anymore.
Okay.
Didn't want to pay the dues, and you probably don't have the need today.
No, I don't have the need.
Are you still a 4-H member?
You're
probably like it for life, maybe. But the point is, you're not, right? Well, why? How? These were memberships that were important to you, aren't they? Well, they're not important anymore. And see how easy it is to just break them and get out of them? Now, could you be sucked back in? Could you sort of be interested? Yeah. But that's the difference. This tie that we have, it shouldn't be easily broken. And it's totally different from from the ties in the world. And I was thinking about our ties, maybe our friendship. Have you been friends with somebody you're not, and I'm talking about outside the church, but you're just not friends with anymore? Maybe, how about your entire graduating class? So, all of you are graduating class of something. I was graduating class of 92, NICSA. I don't have anybody today I'm still tied to. But man, when you were leaving, it was, we're never going to break up, we're going to always, and Tad smiles, but how many people, and I think I heard Ben or one of you, Tad was talking about, how many of you are really friends with any of those classmates anymore?
Not a single one.
Okay, there you go. So there's one unique scenario, right? One. Now, is she in the church?
No.
No, okay.
I wish.
Yeah.
But I think with friends, it's so true. I know I'm older, but people I've worked with that you get so close to because you are sometimes you spend as much time as work or half your life at work, and you do make bonds with people, but those bonds are hard to when you leave a job or those bonds are hard to keep.
Yeah, they're just not the same. Marion, were you going to say something?
I'm very
there you go. Okay, kind of hard for that bond to, yeah, that's good. Okay, good. I like that. That's perfect.
Those organizations that we've been talking about, 4-H or FFA, FPA, Boy Scouts,
yeah,
that kind of stuff, they're for a short time, they're for physical and temporal things,
yeah,
and some of them are really good, and they're really good, especially for kids as they're growing up. But nothing is as good as or as long lasting as the church, and God designed it. You know, that is to last forever.
Yeah, well said. Totally different. They served a purpose, and they're not bad. I mean, all these things we've talked about, I guarantee you, Dwayne was glad to be a part of that membership, but it served a purpose and a time. And Matt loved playing golf with that club. It's no longer, maybe he's not even around that club anymore, right? Or the 4-H, you know. So, yeah, good point. Yeah, were you going to say something, Jamie?
If you think about it, our relationship in Christ is supposed to be based on love. And most other organizations that we're a part of as we go through life, love doesn't even come up.
You're right.
A lot of organizations, it's all about the organization.
Right.
Trying to make that better. And in our life today, we're supposed to be working towards this organization too, the body of Christ, and strengthening it and making it better. But it's all supposed to be on the basis of Christ's love. And so, like you said, that bond shouldn't be easily to break, and it shouldn't be easily offended. And, how we view every relationship inside the body of Christ should be different.
I agree. Which brings us perfectly, good segue, James, into, we've talked about what that tie is not. So what is this tie? Blessed be the tie. So let's consider what that tie or that bind or that connection or attachment is. Well, love, back to James's point, is not or should not be easily broken. It shouldn't. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on what? Love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Well, why is love the bond of perfection? It's that perfect thing that should bind us all together. And then we're going to get into why. So, love that comes from God of love, or from God above. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to go through some verses quickly because I went ahead and typed them out just for fear and sake of time. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I don't know, I didn't count how many times love is used just in those few short verses, but a lot. And if you don't get the picture, where love is from, it clarifies for us real quickly. Love comes from God. God is the source of love, and He is the one who helps us to have this bond of perfection. That is the basis for everything. And so, you know, you almost could pause right here and say, if you get nothing else out of the rest of today and probably next week, it's love. If I have the proper love for the people that I am members to, if Lillian has a proper love for me, I have proper love for her, that's a bond that won't be broken. Totally different than friends that we have outside of work, co-workers that we have outside of work, important memberships we have outside of work. It's the love piece. Back to James. James said it. It's probably not even talked about. It's probably not even covered. It's probably not even a founding piece of it. But for us, it is. It's love. Yes?
Love is the first and great commandment. But it is conditional. And there's one other thing that ties us tighter together, and that is the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm just going to make some notes here. All right. Other comments? All right. Well, just stop me at any time. John 3:16. You know, we couldn't get very far without that. We have love as an example through Christ. We have it through God. We know that that is exactly where it comes from, and it gives. We receive those examples. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, for our brethren. And any of these other things that we were tied to, would you have ever thought about laying down your life for one of those other members, or in your 4-H club, or at your golf club, or at a whatever? No. So it is totally different. And again, this love that we read of there in 1 John, it's totally different. John? Yeah.
I was just going to throw out, you know, a way of defining what that love is, a sense of obligation.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yep. Good. Sense of obligation. We're going to get into, I think, more of that as we continue to read. But it is. It's an obligation. So it's not something that we do just because, hey, we do want to, but there is a sense of obligation. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So how are we going to be known as Christians, as followers of Christ? By our love. So this outside world who we live around and about, and they see us, they do realize we're peculiar. And we are peculiar for many reasons, but one is because they can see that love. You may have had conversations with your neighbors or coworkers about how and why you won't miss the Lord's service, or that you wouldn't miss a Wednesday night service because of a ball game or whatever it might be, a conversation about your love for Christ and what you're willing to do that they don't understand. They just don't understand. Loving the brethren indicates that we have passed from death to life. There's a good verse about this in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love each other. That's an interesting passage. I'll read it again. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. I'm sorry. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others, brothers and sisters. How do we even know what love is? Because of Christ, right? So I talked about how it was foundational, what God did and what Christ has done. That's the only way we really understand love. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? So think about that. I'm certain that in all these relationships or memberships that we talked about early on, these earthly things, there's many needs. It was probably innumerable needs that you saw going on around you. And I'm certain that some tried to help take care of that, but not always, right? That's different here. So as we see a brother or sister who has a need, if anyone has a need, a material possession, a brother or sister is in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? So if you have no care or pity for that person, you can't have love. That's different. Dear children, let us not love, and I'm still in 1 John chapter 13, or 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions. That's another huge difference. We see today, and I'll use Facebook, my favorite one to pick on, but we see today a lot of people say, well, I'm praying for you, I care for you, I love you, but what's the action behind that? In the world, maybe you don't see it as much. In the church, we should see it. It should be very profound. Right? That yes, we tell each other we love and care for each other, but then we show that love and care. You know, I was working on a project the other day and my phone just kept dinging. Ding, ding, ding. I was like, what is going on? So I look, and it was the members talking about how they were going to prepare meals for Haley. And I remember thinking, look at all these conversations about figuring out who's what day somebody's going to cook and what we're going to do. Well, why does that happen? Love. And it's just simple. Love. Care. Most of the women in this audience have had a child. If you've had a child, you know how important it was to have that love surrounding you. Food that you don't have time to prepare. Love. That's why, right? Okay, let me get back to my verse here. So let me go back. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. God knows everything. If we are just saying things to say them, God knows that. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's real versus what we just say or what we truly do. Are your actions congruent with what you're saying? Do you truly care and do you truly love? So, let me pause for a second. I gave you four or five verses there. Other thoughts. And we're not done with love, but I want to pause. So, love from God, love from Christ, love unto death. Other thoughts. Okay.
We should have an appreciation for the love that's shown to us because it is a model of Christ's love, and that is what set us free. We are free from our sin because God loved us enough to send Jesus.
Yeah, good.
And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, which means that we have to take action, we have to do works.
Yeah.
And so if we love one another, then what do we do?
It's
not just that you care about
right.
it and say,
yeah.
I hope you get better, or
yeah.
hope somebody takes care of you.
Yeah.
It's taking responsibility yourself and doing what you can do to help.
Yeah. And again, so different from we all work around coworkers, and we see, to Mike's point, well, I hope you get better. Hope things work out.
And that makes the person that says that, they feel like, well, I've done what I need to do.
Correct. I'm good. I showed them that I cared.
Yeah.
And you know, in and of itself, that's not a bad thing. But then the actions are the part that's just the start. Just the start. Okay. And think about, we've been talking about in the church, right? But as Christians, to other non-Christians, that's how we show them we care and love. We have to do that and demonstrate to them. What better way to show someone why you would want to be a Christian than to truly go take action, right? So we shouldn't be like those people in the world that just have empty words. Well, hope you get better. Hope things are good. But we go take care of them. Offer them something that probably their own family members may not even be doing for them, right? It's just, we're different. We are different. All right. Loves like a family is what I titled kind of my next section here. The church is the household of God. And in that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." So we're talking about with other brothers and sisters in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. All right? So this is a household. This is a family. And we... there are examples of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in this household. do you really think of each other as family? And ponder that for a second. Do we really think of each other as family? Now, you look around the congregation, and we've got pockets of family, right? We have pockets of true flesh and blood family. But do you feel the same way about the non-blood relationship that might sit near you in the pews today as you do others? Are they your family members? You know, I have this conversation with Christian and Kenzie all the time. They'll get into this spat or they'll push or fight or whatever, and it's over something silly. And I say, well, and it's usually Christian. And I say, would you treat your friend in school the way you just treated your sister? You know. I don't really want to talk about that because the answer is, well, no. Okay. Yeah, but it's like, well, why? Why do you do that then? Okay. So the question is to all of us. We should love and be so connected to each other that we wouldn't dare say or do hopefully the wrong thing, but we treat a coworker nicer or your neighbor nicer than you would your own brother and sister in the church, right? We have to care. So this is a family. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers." As a brother. "Older men as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity." What is this verse telling us? It's a great example of the family and how you would handle those things, right? How you would maybe go to an older brother. Exhort him as a father, younger one as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. Why is that there for us? And then it ends with all purity. You might as well say with all perfect motives, with all love, with all care. Right? So if someone says or does something offensive or bothers you, it gives us some reminders of how we would maybe want to go have a conversation with that person. Always with purity. Always with love. Always with that proper care and concern. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, You do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Don't stop. Keep doing it. And more and more. Add to it. Just when you think, I can't love Valita more, I'll do more for her. Care for her more. Right? Same for, hopefully, the rest of you. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. They thank God for the brothers and sisters. They thank God for the faith that they had. But important, the love that you have that's abounding again, more and more. Okay? This shouldn't stop. You can love somebody more. You can demonstrate more for them. Okay, so the second part of that verse that we haven't even got into yet is the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. The tie involves a unity for which Jesus prayed. In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given to them, that you may be just that you may be one just as we are one, in them and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. There's a lot there. We could probably spend a long time just on that verse of this oneness that's talked about, that the Father is in us and in you, and that what does that really mean, that you have, that you believe me, that you believe in me, and that you have sent Christ, and there's a lot there. But this, He abiding in us, we talked about the source of love being God, being Christ, and being made perfect through that. But the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Love for Christ and the love for each other. I'll pause before I read two more verses about that. Any thoughts about that?
Well, it talks about being a kindred mind.
Yeah.
You don't have the same likes that I like, and a lot of people in this room don't have the same likes that I like.
Right.
But how do we become a kindred mind? And it's by believing that the Word of God is true and perfect, and using that as our standard. That's how we apply it to our lives. And then that automatically, if we're all going towards Christ and we're all on the same path, so we will be of a kindred mind. And we need to constantly renew our mind in that and think about His Word and how it applies to us.
Good point. All of us today, if I was to ask all of you to write on a piece of paper outside of the church, forget Christ, forget God, forget love, what's really important to you? You know, something that you really like to do, maybe a hobby, and you wrote that down, how many of us would probably agree to the same thing in here? Very few. Right? Yep, Malachi and Jay would do racing, right? Or they would, you know, Jay and Dwayne would do computers, right? Someone and Mark would talk education. But the point is, we would all have something probably very, very different. Matt and I would talk golf. Christian and Matt would talk golf, right? But what is the real tie? What is that unity really in? Okay. It involves a unity of mind for which Paul prayed and talked about. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This is exactly James's point. Do I have to have a love for cars like Malachi? No, because that's not what binds us. Now, it's neat to talk about, but that's not really why we're bound together. That's not this tie that we're talking about, right? Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. What are you like-minded in? Exactly what James said. Having the same love. That's that one unified thing. Therefore, any threat to this unity is strongly condemned. And I want you to think about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Be perfectly joined together. So I'm going to give you, I want to ask, when you think of something perfectly joined together, what's your mental picture? I'll bring it up and see if Dwayne immediately gets it. But when you think of woodworking, and I think of something being perfectly joined together, you ever seen a perfectly joined picture frame? I've tried to make picture frames. Anybody ever tried to make a picture frame? And then you cut that and you go, well, it's 245s. This is going to be simple. And they, oh, what in the world's going on here? Oh, okay, maybe I'll back cut it a little bit. Okay, maybe I need to just tweak this a little bit. When you see someone that can make a picture frame and the corners are perfect, perfectly joined together, that's the picture I get. A dovetail, perfectly joined together. Picture frame, woodworking, perfectly joined together. That's what we're talking about here. And how does that happen? A, no divisions, and you are of the same mind, same judgment, same love. That's what makes us perfectly joined together. All right. Any thoughts about that? And I'll give you one last thought before I close on this piece. But when you think of this fit perfectly together, I think about the Trinity. I think about Christ and God, the Holy Spirit, three there. But are you seeking to have that same unity that the Father and the Son have together? As you have, so does Sheila and I have that same unity? Does Jay and I have that same unity? Does Veronica and I have that same unity? Are we perfectly fit together like the Father and the Son? And if not, why not? What's holding you back? Is it you? Oh, well, it's them. Okay, well, what are you doing about that? Because if you love, you'll forget, you'll forgive, you'll look past, right? So when we think about this love, think about the Father and the Son. How close that unity. Okay, I'm going to pause. We've got 2 or 3 minutes left before I get into the second verse. And yes, you've already figured it out. This one's going to take more than one class period. What comments or thoughts do you have about that unity or that perfect fit?
We can be perfectly fit together without seeing eye to
eye. I agree.
I think one way of measuring that is how hard it is to pull us apart. If a little bit of conflict causes big divisions, then we're not perfectly joined together.
Can't be.
It should be very difficult to separate Christian people.
Extremely difficult. Have we seen it happen before? Yeah. We have. But it should be very difficult. And I think you made a great point. And I'll relate this to a worldly thing. I was a board member and a board president for 9 years of Spokane School Board. We did not see eye to eye on really a lot of things, right? We had a 7-0 vote quite a few times, but there were many times it was 4-3, 5-2, many times. But I always try to remind the team that at the end of the day, you saw it this way, and you thought that that was the right way to go. I saw it this way, and I thought it was the right way to go. But at the end of the day, when we leave the room, it's a vote. Now we have to go support what we voted on together. It wasn't a 7-0 vote, but we decided that we're going to do whatever it is, X. So we support that. So at the end of the day, there's going to be some disagreements. We're not going to see eye to eye, but does that mean that we can't have that love for each other? Absolutely not. And we should. We should be able to see right past that and still have that strong love, care, concern. Maybe a healthy discussion. Maybe a healthy debate. And maybe you never get close on those two things. Maybe you just always disagree. That's okay. Maybe Tad sees a way to raise his family and I see it slightly different. Okay? I can still love him and love the way he raised his family. And I'm just picking something that, you know. But there's a lot of those things. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And so we'll pick up, if you want to read the song some more, we're going to pick up in verse 2. And I promise you we will. I think we can get through the rest of it in one more class. So thanks for your comments. hopefully it's been helpful.